irascible.
Irascible, mm-hmm. which means having or showing a tendency to be easily angered.
Yep.
And I learned today that I am that. That's me.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dicer, and I'm joined, as always, by Danae Hughes.
Hi.
We write for... I'll wait.
Hello.
We write for CinemaSins, TV Sins, and do various other things inside the CinemaSins universe as well. Jonathan couldn't join us today, but we still wanted to make sure we talk about the Sins videos from last week. So here we are.
Well, I do have a hand puppet, Jonathan, here.
Do you?
Hi, everybody.
I can't do Jonathan's voice very well, admittedly.
Was that an actual attempt at Jonathan's voice?
It's because his voice. It's pretty exciting. We're going to talk about all things CinemaSins.
I am terrified at where the Jonathan hand puppet will eventually take us in this show.
I'm not going in your butt.
Okay, not that kind of. Now I'm that kind of terrified.
Because that's where it goes for puppets. Is that not what you're thinking? That's the big joke. Is like a person's hand is up the butt of a Muppet. So
yes.
What were you thinking?
Right. No. I was just talking about just the general thing of you imitating Jonathan and where you were going to, you know, take Jonathan.
Like, oh well, this is embarrassing.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Jonathan, maybe you should go over in the corner.
Okay.
Okay. He's gone. See. Problem
fair
solved.
Enough. Fair
right,
enough.
Right here at the top of the show, you don't have to wonder anymore about the puppet.
Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. You know what's interesting about this week? We're recording it in last year.
That's
and
right.
Releasing it in the new year.
From the past.
Yeah.
You remember 2019?
God, that was so long ago.
Have you thought much about the living in the 20s?
I am preparing for all of the ad campaigns about, you know, 2020, get in focus.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
That they've been preparing for all these years.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, we can do this in 2020.
Yeah, in 2020.
Have clear sight in 2020.
I remember many, many, many years ago talking about political campaigns for the election of 2020 how they'll all be like casting a vision, 2020 vision, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But what I didn't expect is that I would be back into Dungeons and Dragons and it's double crit year. I'm real excited about that. So that's kind of like where I've landed.
2020. That's great. I didn't play Dungeons and Dragons, and I get that.
I know.
That's amazing. I'm looking forward to all the year-end articles that are like 2020 hindsight and that kind of stuff. That'll
Anything
be a lot of fun.
It's totally going to be.
But no, I'm talking more in general
like
living in this the 20s. I like this because like the aughts, I guess, or the teens, like those decades, I never felt comfortable with what we called them. But now we're in the 20s. I get that. Like that feels right to me.
Come on, finger wave.
What?
That was a really popular hairdo.
Yeah, I'm ready for swing music.
Hey,
I'm ready for, you know, bankruptcy and stock market crash.
It's all coming.
So.
In fact, that's why my husband and I are like, do we buy a house?
World wars are on the horizon.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm super excited about it for personal reasons. And then just looking at the world, I'm like, oh. Maybe.
Well, we're doing our best to make a difference with a silly podcast about a silly YouTube channel.
That's right.
You ready to get into it?
Yeah. And we might be having new listeners because we actually have our first like advertisement on the main channel.
Yeah.
Which is so exciting.
We saw a little subscription bump.
We did?
Yeah.
Hello, new people.
A little bump. Our little bump showing.
Aw, we're so pregnant. I actually.
Thank you, new listeners. We're pregnant with you.
This is how we say we love you. We're growing a placenta.
Welcome to our uterus.
Oh, no. We need
Enjoy
Jonathan.
Your stay.
Jonathan.
This is what happens when Jonathan goes away.
Shit. This is going to be a weird one.
All right. Let's get into it with this inside scoop.
What's he building in there?
We're going to take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sending them, maybe how we felt about the stuff in general. We'll kick it off with some TV sins. The week started with Rick and Morty, Vindicators 3. This is a final Rick and Morty for this stretch of Rick and Mortys, I think. Now, I think we'll probably do more later down the road. But man,
because why not?
It's been fun. People seem to really enjoy them, too. So
yeah,
it's been a lot of fun.
That's what I've noticed. Sometimes, like in the comments, I see less of when is this going to be done? Like in Friends, it was was like, okay, guys.
In Game of Thrones, even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're done. We're done with this.
Yeah.
But Rick and Morty seems to be like, do this episode, too.
Yeah, it was we did, like, the first three in a row. And then we jumped to, like, episode 6 or something. And the comments on that one were like, you skipped some. It's like, did you really think
Gosh, can you imagine?
Going through, like, the... And,
well, and there's, like,
and
a
why
push,
not, I guess.
Have,
but...
your own Rick and Morty channel.
Right.
No. No.
What did you think about this episode?
I remember this one pretty well.
Yeah.
So as I was
this
watching
was an Atkinson Dicer script, by the way. This was Chris and I.
Yeah, you guys loved you. And
yeah.
Chris is like, it's been fun to see his fingerprints on the on the TV Sins channel.
Yeah, he was very excited to send Rick and Morty, and so he's been on all these.
Yeah, yeah. I liked this one. There was I really liked the comment section of this video. That's where my happy place has been, and it's been super fun to go into the comments and like interact with people.
Uh huh.
Because I'm using my CinemaSins like account to do it, so it's like it looks super official, and then I have the behind the scenes sticker as my picture.
Uh huh.
So it's like I don't know, I'm having more fun kind of down in there. Like there's a thread right now of the VeggieTales theme song, you know, where everyone like leaves the next line. So I'm involved in that. So
I think I mentioned that last week.
Yeah,
it was coming up this week. Uh-huh. It really is my favorite outtake I've ever written.
It was all over the comments. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
So many VeggieTale lovers.
It's just so perfect because he's a pickle.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the way he says, turn me over, I want to talk to you. Like,
I know.
It's
perfect.
It's if just is great. It matches up perfectly. And yeah, I kind of want to just clip that and just like send it all over the internets because it's so much fun.
You want to meme it.
I do.
You want to vid-a-meme it.
Vid-a-meme it?
It's like Vimeo.
A memin?
It's a Mimeo.
Mimeogram? Mimeograph?
Doesn't always work.
Yeah, I didn't like this episode. Now, when I say that, I don't mean like I hated it or anything, but as far as Rick and Morty's go...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think this episode is just... It's just a bunch of nonsense. Like, it's just a mess. Like, usually Rick and Morty, even when it's nonsense... It, you know, you kind of get at least the foundational stuff holding together, like Pickle Rick or whatever. Like, there's a foundational plot that kind of holds together through that.
He's turned himself into a pickle to avoid counseling.
And this one is just like, it just exists to make fun of kind of superheroes and the Avengers. And
So I remember visually going, oh yeah, I watched this one. I don't remember the plot. So the plot is that Rick gets drunk.
Yes.
And the night before?
Yep. And he goes and kills the main bad guy himself.
Okay.
And then sets up traps that will kill all of them.
Unless
they can solve problems.
His problems.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, and I thought you guys did a good job of pointing that out.
Yeah.
Even as far as like the different video clips, which is not always easy to put it up in front of everybody and say, here's all the ways this sort of falls apart, you know, because it's so fast paced and there's so much going on. So I thought you guys did a really good job in this one of kind of pointing that stuff out. Chris weighed in on, so I have his notes.
And, oh, yeah. What did Chris have to say?
No, if you go ahead. Why don't you talk about...
I said my piece about the episode. So let's talk about the video itself and hear Chris's thoughts.
Okay. He said, for some reason, Vindicators 3 was the hardest Rick and Morty to sin. I'm not sure why. It has all the ingredients of a cinema plotting, but I think since everything is ridiculous,
yes,
a parody of the Avengers, plus Rick being super drunk, creating a series of puzzles for the Vindicators to solve,
yep,
also ridiculous and pointless, there wasn't much to pick on. Motivations of characters were consistent with a silly plot. Plot holes don't really exist. It was a tough one. However, I did enjoy trying to piece together Rick's drunken night, which led to some sins.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Chris and I during the writing of the script actually took time to try to figure out what Rick did that night in the order he did it
right.
in, because he's videoing all those first videos. He already has cutouts
right.
made behind him for the last thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's also saying things in those videos that he's making up as he goes along.
Yeah, yeah. I
so
guess I'll do this. I think I'll do that.
Especially the basketball one. He's like, I don't know what we're doing.
Basketball.
Why don't you do basketball? Well, if you've already made all the stuff,
right?
Like, don't you already know that? So then you have to think, okay, he knew the final thing, did that, and then made everything else.
It's wild.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It's a little bit crazy.
Non-sin related, he loved the part where Morty tells Sober Rick that Drunk Rick is just ripping off Saw with one of the puzzles. And Sober Rick's is like, he says he would never do that hack job. That meant like a hack job
uh-huh,
like that.
Yeah.
And then Drunk Rick on the video says that he got the inspiration from the movie Saw.
Yes, that's a great joke.
So he enjoyed that one a lot. So kind of maybe the same experience that you had. And this has happened before in Rick and Morty, where you guys have had to watch the episode so many times to just pull stuff out. But sometimes it's because it's kind of well thought out and crafted. And this one seems like it's kind of opposite, where it's just Looney Tunes.
Well, but honestly, the whole show is so improvisational.
Yeah.
Like the key example of that is we talk about the interdimensional cable stuff, where they just make up those shows on the spot and then animate around it. This felt like a full episode of that. This felt like they just sat in a recording booth and, you know, made this up as they went along and then animated around it.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels very improvisational in that way.
We have a comment section for those of you who are new listeners. I like to break the rules and talk about comments now.
You can talk about comments whenever you want.
Shadowbolt Hayes said, I'm surprised you guys didn't send the part where Nova got somehow impregnated by ants, or that she was able to have sex with a literal swarm of ants, or the fact that she did it willingly. I mean, I know there is a weird insect fetish out there. I wish I didn't judge people for having, but yeah, I think it's weird. To each their own. But anyways, the fact that she got pregnant is pushing my suspension of disbelief farther than this show ever does in all the other episodes.
Except she's
three.
A supernova. Like, I mean, she could get pregnant from anything, I would think. Like, all she has to do is think about it. Like,
So the next person says, don't mind me, responds, I feel like that was so much of a sin it would have broke the sin counter. The next person named Section says, some sins are best left without mention. The more I think about it, the worse it gets. Like, does he even feel anything?
Right. Like, yeah, Guy Made of Ants is a million ants is the weirdest character. I remember doing research on the life, you know, the life cycle of ants.
Yeah, for the
fact for the fact that he replenishes
almost
his ants
instantly.
Like instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, I think it takes some time, you know, for ants for the queen to pop them out.
All the sinning aside, Rick and Morty is still is one of those shows I'm so glad exists, because it's just so Looney.
Yeah.
And R-rated.
Is your superpower transmitting body dysmorphia?
Yes, I like that one.
Was one of my favorites.
Although I did have to go back and figure out, like, toilet paper on top of cantaloupe with a watermelon.
Toilet paper on top of a pumpkin with two cantaloupes on top of
it. Right, yeah, but the way that it starts off with toilet paper.
Yes.
And so I was like, toilet paper roll?
A roll.
So then I kind of stopped it, and I was like, oh, it's her tiny.
Yeah.
Well, with a cantaloupe, which, by the way, were very high. Like, maybe too high.
But well, she's a supernova.
Body dysmorphia. That's what it's for.
Yeah, exactly.
She clearly wears Spanx and a corset. That's all I'm saying.
Galaxy Spanx.
Also, she's not real.
Anything else you wanted to mention from this one?
Nope.
All right, we can move on then. Let's move on to TV Sin Doctor Who, The Runaway Bride. This has become a tradition at TV Sins. We send a Doctor Who Christmas special last Christmas, and we send a Doctor Who Christmas special this Christmas. So we did the first one last year. This is the second one. I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. A lot of the team really hasn't dove in. I think maybe Jonathan watches a little bit too, but
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the Who fan.
I'm the Who guy.
What's a Who fan called?
A Whovian.
A Whovian.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. All the Who's in Whoville, something like that.
Wasn't that one of the jokes?
It was in the first one. I don't remember if we made that joke again in this one. But.
I have such little experience with Doctor Who. I've only ever watched one episode, and I want to say it was on TV in some sort of like waiting room or something, where I wasn't watching it because I chose to. It was just there.
Yeah.
And there was this gigantic piece of skin with a face that was talking about needing moisturizer.
That's right. Moisturize me.
Yes.
Yes.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? And then
that's the tagline for Doctor Who, actually.
And then I watched this video and I was like, I don't understand anything that's happening. Yeah. I'm so confused.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, ask away. Ask your questions.
Is this funny?
Occasionally. It occasionally is. Yeah.
There's somebody that's a fan that's watching this. And maybe it was you and Jonathan.
Yeah.
Are fans, because there's some sins off. And as somebody who's not a Doctor Who person
right.
and has never seen Doctor Who and I'm watching the Sins video, I'm like, this is nothing that needs to have Sins off. This is awful.
This is trash.
I'm supremely unimpressed at this moment. And I know there's Doctor Who fans out there.
Like, you
can't do it based on this. And I get
it. No,
it's
like, great. I think I can explain it a little bit for you.
Oh, I hope so. Because this was like,
I'll try.
What is happening?
I'll give it my best shot.
Okay.
First of all, the character of Doc Who. I just called him Doc Who. Is that a new thing? Doku. Sounds like a Star Wars. Isn't there a Star Wars?
Doku.
Race
Count
called?
Doku.
Oh, there you go. Anyhow, Doc Who is such a great character, and there's such
really because it just seemed like he was running around yelling a lot.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's part of him. He's okay. also very quirky. He's not human, so he's
that's different.
Yeah, he's a Time Lord. He has two hearts. Something you may not know about Time Lords. But Time Lords are a species. And no, I think they're side by side.
Okay. Well, that's a question I had. You just skipped, so I had to go back.
So he is a Time Lord, the last of the Time Lords.
Okay, stop. If he's the last, why have there been 10? Because someone said 10's their favorite.
Well, because this is the other thing about Doctor Who and about Time Lords is they regenerate. So when they use the last of their life essence, they come back as another being.
Okay, so question.
Yeah.
Their time essence being used by that little wand thingy?
No, that is...
Because that's a terrible use of your powers, is to like go to whatever floor that can operate a... I don't know.
It's just a sonic screwdriver. It's just a tool. It's just like their tool.
Oh, yeah, casual.
So no, I mean, it is what it is. Like,
it's actually called a sonic screwdriver?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
That is literally my brother's username on like all his accounts, is sonic screwdriver.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So he's a Doctor Who fan, too.
He is definitely a Doctor Who fan.
Oh, God, he hates me so much right now. Not that your brother listens to this podcast.
So anyhow, I don't know where to start because we've touched on Sonic's
life essence.
Yeah.
How does he expel his life essence?
No, if he sacrifices his life, or, you know, he's dying, you know, like if he's taken too much injury to recover and he can't. You know, so
he has a life meter like in a video game.
Yeah, but he comes back. It's this brilliant way to be able to replenish the lead character in Doctor Who. So when people talk about loving 10, they mean the 10th regeneration.
There have been 10 of them?
There have been more than that now. I think Jodie Whittaker, who's the first female doctor.
Oh, yes. I remember that happening.
Yeah. Is Doctor Who fans are going to hate me that I don't know this right off the top of my head. I'll have to look it up. But I think it's like 13. I think she's 13. And there is some confusion a little bit with the movie because, you know, it went from the old TV shows.
12th Doctor.
So Jodie is the 12th Doctor? Is Tennant the 10th?
Let me just say this. My Google search was female Doctor Who number.
Yeah.
Portrayed by Jodie Whittaker.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Previous version, 12th Doctor.
Okay.
So it says previous version. Would that mean that she's the 13th?
I thought she was the 13th. Maybe she is the
12th. 13th Doctor. It says 13th Doctor on Wikipedia.
Yay!
Then why would it say previous is 12? Wouldn't we just kind of assume that?
I don't know. David Tennant is my favorite doctor. He is the doctor in this one. I think he's hilarious. I think he's a lot of fun. I think I started this by trying to kind of explain to you why people like it and kind of why it gets to be kind of trashy, but people still like it.
It's like sci-fi trash.
It is sci-fi trash. It's always been sci-fi. In the 60s when it started,
it was
ridiculous,
trash.
You know, obvious prosthetic costumes.
I super got that from this one.
Right, yes. And so...
Although whoever was acting as that ant...
the Rancor or whatever.
Creature
yeah.
was given to her all.
Yeah.
I kind of appreciated that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... I definitely felt like we needed to mention the overacting that was going on in this episode. But
intense.
That's kind of been the bread and butter of this series, is that kind of thing. And what's interesting with this new version is it kind of has gotten more and more polished, you know, as the years have gone on.
Okay.
But at the same time, it still harkens back to, you know, how it started.
Okay, so
he's an
alien and he has a ship that's in the shape of a police thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And and inside that's like a pocket universe where it's all kinds
of technically
stuff?
That's his TARDIS, which stands for Time and Relative Dimensions in Space. And so it is not just a spaceship, it's a time ship. It travels through time and space.
And he traveled somewhere in this episode and kidnapped a woman?
Well, what happened in this episode was, this is great. Can we do a Doctor Who podcast?
Sure.
And you can just ask all these questions.
Sure.
So what happened in this,
all the extra time we have.
That being was, quote unquote, poisoning her with an element so that she could bring her species to feast on the Earth, right?
Well,
so she was poisoning her with this element that would allow her... Well, anyways, this element.
Can you call her the bride?
Sure.
Okay, so the bride is at her wedding and she dissolves into a thousand stars.
Yes.
And is
teleported to his TARDIS.
TARDIS because Doctor Who kidnapped her?
No.
Uh-huh.
Because the element that she's being poisoned with is communicating with the TARDIS, the same element that the TARDIS runs on.
Okay.
And so,
the TARDIS absorbed her there.
Yeah, it absorbed her there. Uh-huh. And that's why he's so confused to start off with, because that shouldn't have, like...
There was a lot of yelling.
Nobody should be able to just teleport into
the TARDIS.
That shouldn't happen.
Right. I'm totally tracking.
By the way, I should also mention the police box that he's in is because when he landed on Earth, the TARDIS is designed to disguise itself to fit into the environment.
Okay.
He landed in England, and so it disguised itself as a police box, but then it got stuck. So it's been stuck as a police box since his first trip to Earth.
Got it.
But TARDISes in general, wherever they land, are designed to
appear as something
the environment.
Yes. Okay.
So there you go.
So it could be the Rocky statue if it was in. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Anyhow, but that's what people love. They love kind of the world building of it, and it's just there really is nothing else like it in pop culture.
So what was the skin saying to moisturize? I know that's not this episode. Okay, we can talk about it later. We'll talk about it later.
Dude, what'd you think of the video? Anything in the video?
I was so confused.
Sure, of course.
There was just a lot of yelling. I got really confused at the stop bleeping me one because...
Let's talk about that.
So the sin is stop bleeping me and then...
They say in the show. She says, stop bleeping me. And she's talking about the little, you know, sonic screwdriver that he's bleeping her with.
And Jeremy says something I continue to say to the sin editor somehow makes it into this fucking script.
Yeah.
And it's not bleep.
Right.
Then why do we ever bleep?
Because we think it's funny.
Oh.
This is a conversation. Yeah.
I'm a new girl. By the way, hi. If you're new here, I'm Danae. I'm super, super new to the team.
I think it's a combination. I think it's a combination of kind of the YouTube environment. And also because they find it hilarious. So,
well, this was a great place to do it. But there was even comments about it, like in the comments, like that moment when Jeremy chooses to be demonetized.
Yeah.
Like we're standing kind of a thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Like, yeah. We're putting your enjoyment over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was the vibe. That's why I was like shocked. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. No, it's it was one of those things where it's just a beautiful meta joke, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's complaining about something that in that moment is not happening.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
so.
It was good. I was confused by it. I actually messaged you when I watched it.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh no, we let one through.
Guys, not only is it not like asterisk in the narration.
Right.
But we forgot to bleep Jeremy. This is a big deal. Because this is the stuff that, you know, as we're going through the process where we're trying to make sure that the videos are ready to go live.
Yeah.
We have got all these eyeballs looking to make sure that that's the kind of stuff that doesn't slip through the cracks. And so I was super shocked by it.
Yeah.
I obviously didn't write on this one or I would have been on the joke, but I didn't know.
The other thing that I realized while watching this is how much the companions, which are the people who travel with Doctor Who that are Earthlings, really their primary existence is for Doctor Who to explain things to us because he has to explain it to them.
Yeah.
It should have been so obvious to me.
Right.
But this one... Just
like the red shirts have to die on Star Trek so that the main characters don't.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is basically, you know, an expositional delivery device that the writers have used for years. And I think that's hilarious because in the Doctor Who universe, companions are so beloved and yet they're really just kind of a tool of the writers. So
there are so many comments in this one of super fans.
Yeah.
Super fan comments galore. Jason was talking about companions. He says, and to think Donna would somehow go on to be one of the best companions of the modern era.
Yeah.
Sniff, we miss you, Dr. Donna. Is that the person? Is that the bride?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And then
Donna Noble has been saved. Sorry, somebody will get that.
Okay. Jason Blalock says, you're not entirely wrong, but part of the reason she worked was specifically because Ten needed someone who would call him out on his BS when appropriate.
Yeah.
He had a borderline god complex that only got worse over time,
yep.
And it certainly wasn't helped by having companions like Rose and Martha who constantly fawned over him.
Yep.
Donna could be shrill, but because he was responding like with someone else saying that she was kind of annoying and shrill. Donna could be shrill, but after her personality reboot in series 4, and this is when I was like, oh my God. This is when I paused for a second and I was like, I put my fingers to my temples and just started to massage because there's just so much.
There is.
Like, this is a lot.
You know how much you love all the intricacies of Tolkien's universe and Lord of the Rings?
You bring this up. I do, but not like that.
But you know? You do.
I don't. I'm not like, oh, and in series four when this happened, blah, blah, blah. No.
Yes, you are. No. You just said something about...
Critical Role is the one that you should talk about, because I am fangirling out about Critical Role.
Okay, maybe. Yes, yeah, so that's probably a better...
I just want to let you know.
Okay, fair enough.
So yes, I do this. So anyhow, he goes on and talks about, you know, all of her personality and stuff. So I was learning, and then I was like, companions or something? And was that the skin? Again, I'm really just curious. We'll talk later about the skin thing.
Moisturize me.
Old Reaver also says, without the music, it makes every line sound terrible.
Yeah.
So that was another part about this one that I wondered that was dry for me as I watched it, was like maybe missing some of the flair that it normally
has. Sure, yeah. No, I mean, yeah, you're not going to get the same effect
but
watching the Sins video.
I really didn't like it, though.
No, and I don't know that
I
you
really
would. It's one of those things.
I want to like it.
It's really fun.
Everybody's a Doctor Who fan.
It's really fun.
TARDIS is everywhere. one of my favorite sins was the pencil inside a mug.
Nice.
College girlfriend joke.
Yes.
I really loved that one.
Yep.
So well done on the script. Good video.
Thank you. I wanted to mention as well the Parmesan and roasted garlic Pringles.
Yeah.
Because usually I hate new flavors of things,
yeah.
Right? And
oh,
so
yeah.
When I was writing that, I had to find something that I could actually like feel like I was being somewhat intellectually honest about.
Even though you're writing for Jared, like you're writing for the narrator.
I don't know. It's weird, right? Like it's
you
kind
still
of one
want
of
to
those
have
things.
Your own personal thing. I get
right.
it. I get it. I get
right.
it.
So I wanted to put those in there. You ready to head on to music video sins?
Oh yeah, let's do it. Now listen, music
All You
video
Want for
sins
Christmas
is one of the ones that every week there's a trend, right? Like we're just like, not always. I guess there's been some that we've
sure.
really enjoyed, but for the most part, we're like, the video is hilarious. The music video sin is hilarious.
Right.
The music video itself is like, oh, let's not talk too much about that. So
what was this one for you?
Mariah Carey is a very interesting public figure for
okay.
me.
Okay. What do you mean when you say that?
So I love singing and I love mimicking sound. And so obviously there's these huge voices that you hear every
sure.
year. And Mariah is one of them. And when I was little, I had a much higher register. I don't know if it's years of being sick. We're going on like 2 months of my voice not fully coming back yet. So
yeah.
I'm a little nervous now.
Still got a little bit of that lower register going on.
I don't know if it's a lot of pot smoking in my 20s. I don't know. I don't know if I just hurt something at some point.
Let's go back to the pot smoking in your 20s.
Maybe my cigarette phase. I'm not sure. But when I was younger and I had a higher register, I was in choirs and I could hit the notes with Mariah. So I loved seeing Mariah. But then as I've gotten older, she kind of annoys me.
Oh, and what
so,
is it?
Like I respect her ability, but then there's something about like her persona that I roll my eyes
at. Do you feel like her persona is a little too full of itself?
Yeah.
I wondered if
but
that was it.
I don't know her personally.
No, I know. And it's so hard to
know what they
right.
show on the TV and whatever.
I think she's just confident. I think she just, I don't know. She strikes me as somebody who's like, I'm good. Like,
I feel,
I'm not worried about.
I feel like. Like there's parts of some personalities that kind of like make me cringe and God,
that's natural.
This is such a
no. It's you're right.
Don't
but
hate
it,
me.
But it
like,
is natural.
She you know she does things where she doesn't apparently. This is all allegedly. This is all Danae reading like stuff that's probably just a bunch of bullshit. But listen, she like has like her favorite side that she refuses to let photographers photograph her from
sure.
the other side and stuff. And.
But wouldn't you feel like you'd know that if your life was like all getting pictures taken?
That's what it is. As time has gone on, I don't like cringe as much. So this was my first time kind of watching her going, oh, yeah, cringe girl. Oh, wait, no, I kind of feel sorry for her. Oh, wait, like I'm shifting and changing. So I was not really enjoying them. I've heard this song way too many times. So I wasn't like watching it for that. I'm watching Mariah going, what is your life? Like, what
yeah.
is this world that you have? And like, what kind of a person are you? I don't know. She's just like this icon. So anyways, I was super distracted by that. I did enjoy the sins. I you know, like the comment of the list of stuff that she won't do is the pop version of Meatloaf. Super loved that.
That's a great sin. That's one I had written down too.
Of course, I loved the diss track for Nick Cannon. And so there were some fun things that were peppered into there. But for me, because she's such an icon and I used to sing her songs and then I hated on her publicly for quite a while. And I'm coming out of my hatred phase.
Oh, good for you.
It was just this interesting combination of emotion as I was
yeah.
watching this one.
No, I think it's very natural for there to be people in the public eye who we don't react well to. For whatever reason, something's off, and we're just like, I don't think I like you. But I think it's very important, like you're doing, to step back and go, I don't know you. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I think that's really valuable. I know there, I used to do stage work for concerts that would come into town when I was growing up in high school and stuff. And I had friends who would have bad experiences with some of these, you know, quote unquote famous people yeah. in these bands.
Yep.
And then they would go telling all their friends, well, this guy's a jerk. You know, he, you know, I said something to him and
he slapped me with a sandwich.
He kind of snapped back at me or whatever. And I'm just thinking, you don't know the, like, he may have just been having a bad 5 minutes. Like, yeah. you, like, it's just,
you can't have bad 5 minutes when you're famous.
That's right. Well, it's kind of true. And so, you know, it's, and that may be why somebody like Mariah or somebody else feels standoffish or hoity-toity or whatever, because they've had to live a life mm-hmm. where they're just like, it doesn't matter what I say, somebody's going to think it's awful. And
it was cool to see her kids, though, in the music video.
Oh, those were her kids?
The ones that pop out of the present?
The prison box?
Yes.
That was my favorite part. Like, just the story of that box. Like, she keeps kids in a box until yeah. Christmas every year, and they pop out and help her sing the song. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Now, what about the song in general, though? Like, as a Christmas song? Because a lot of people talk about getting annoyed by this one, and then 5 seconds later realizing that they're singing along to it. It's kind of one of those songs where...
I think it's amazing. It's incredible that she's had this song for all these years, and it's just, it's permeated culture. Yeah. I think sometimes, like, the famous Christmas songs are the ones that, you know, the people who sang them are long gone. But this is one where it's so in our culture every year and mm-hmm. she's still here. So that's kind of a cool thing to sort of experience. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I think we're unaware of how consistently new hit Christmas songs come out. Because I remember thinking, yeah, these are, you know, all the classic Christmas songs are old. And then I remember seeing something like, you know, Rudolph came out in 1977 or something. You know what I mean? Like, where, and I'm not, that's not a big, mm-hmm. That's not real. That's just me making an example up. But the idea that anything that's before me, I think of as
so old.
Ancient.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Because but I think the every world few years, a new around me, you.
I think I
each
think
individual.
Every few years, a new classic emerges, and it's.
I don't know the classic is, though.
I think it. I no, listen, I think, with Christmas songs, they become classics real fast. Real fast.
Okay.
I yeah.
Okay. Hey, I do have a cool Christmas album. I know Christmas has passed and mm-hmm. we're already over it, right? But it was more of a, like, I'm not going to say broken Christmas, but it was more like of a realistic, like, Christmas album. I really enjoyed it. It was Nicole Nordman's new album.
I don't know if you guys
listened to
it. I haven't.
It's really, really good. She's really vocal on Twitter about, you know, like, Trump and like, just how things are really, really jacked up. And she's been, like, excommunicated from Christian culture.
Yeah.
Shocker. Here I sit. Hello. Same. And so, like, this album is like, I don't know, it's like her just kind of continuing to push on those, like, can't just pretend like everything is okay all the time sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody on Twitter actually, like, said, you're so irrelevant, you know, you're just doing da da da. And they work in Christian radio as a DJ.
Aww.
Shocking stuff. Like, yeah. I was just like, man, you're gonna lose your job. And then, like, all the comments
are... We do not have the time nor space nor probably the audience desire for me to talk about my feelings on Christian culture. So
yeah, that's another case.
That yes.
Go listen
yes.
to Shoe the Dough.
Yeah, that podcast does exist.
Yeah, we definitely go into it there. I asked Barrett what it was like to sin this video.
Sure.
He said the song itself went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 this year for the first time.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's the classic. It's not even the top 100 until this
but
year.
Does she continue to remake it?
So the comments were like, no, it's not remade. It's just a new video.
Right.
But it's not being remade. He said, I love the song, but that's some bullshit. She's printing money off this track. I heard it on the Christmas playlist at least 30 times Christmas Day. At least 70% of those times should have been replaced by Kelly Clarkson's Underneath the Tree. Same tempo and aesthetic. Better song. Rant over. So I don't think he enjoyed the song very much.
I like it.
And it's... it was kind of a... I did like some parts of the actual video itself. You know, the idea of a young person going and looking in on a display and kind of getting sucked into the Christmas, you know, excitement of it or whatever. But I thought the rest of it was a little bit boring. I thought Mariah was a little boring. She doesn't move a lot. She just kind of lays there and looks pretty, or she, like, you know, pops her hips and wags her hands. And granted, her voice is like a dream, but they're like, all the background people are doing stuff. I don't know. I just want to see Mariah move. I want to see her move a little
Everybody
bit.
Everybody wants to see Mariah move.
Yeah.
Move, Mariah.
Move that body, girl. It's beautiful.
All right, let's move on to CinemaSins for the week, and we will kick it off with Muppet Christmas Carol. This was a Scott Share joint, Jeremy and Barrett writing on this. This is the best version of the Christmas Carol ever made. One of the best Christmas movies ever made. I think the Sins video even says so. I love this movie. What's your relationship with this movie, Danae? Certainly. Oh, wait, are you going to say you've never seen this movie? That would be shocking. I'm ready to be shocked here because this is so up your alley.
I don't remember seeing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm blown away. Yeah. I thought for sure.
I missed the window.
I don't know.
I want to say I would be pretty confident if I called my parents and said, did we watch this when I was a kid? They would say yes. But I don't remember it.
Wow.
I obviously remember the characters in it.
Well, sure. They're the Muppets.
But I don't remember the moments. Like, as I was watching the Sins video, because I thought that I had seen it,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I don't think I've seen this.
Interesting.
But because it's such a familiar story, maybe I thought that I had. I don't know. But I will watch it next year, because if the sinning gods are loving it and had a good time sending it, then
it's right there on your
good.
Disney Plus. You could, you know, fire it up tonight if you wanted with Iris.
Nope. No, I'm ready for Christmas to be over.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was such a jacked holiday. I'm glad it's done. I loved some moments were fine, but it was just a stressful clusterfuck, and I'm ready for it to be.
So, playing the role of Scrooge in this podcast,
I am so Scrooge-y.
Will be Danae.
I'm sorry, guys.
Bah humbug.
I'm a little bit
go
bah
away
humbug-y.
Christmas.
I'm ready for it to be done, and thank God it is.
Wow, I am shocked you haven't seen this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you would really, really like this. It's so funny. It's so heartfelt. It's so cute. It's so great. Michael Caine, as mentioned in the Sins video, is giving like Oscar level performance here aside Muppets. It's incredible. It's a really, really fun and well done movie. It's my favorite Muppet.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I would highly recommend you check it out.
I'm sorry to bum you out.
No, I don't think I'm bummed out. I'm just shocked. I'm just surprised. I figured the person who loves Fraggles
for sure would enjoy this. I know I would enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you think about the video then?
I had a good time watching the video. Quite a bit, actually. But I'm going to there's several. There's one sin in particular that I actually had to stop the video and cried because
uh-huh.
I was laughing so hard. Literally cried.
Oh no, I was in the room.
Yeah.
I saw it happen.
Uh-huh. I couldn't and then I went to go try to start the video again and I couldn't.
No, it was a good 5 minutes.
It's
congratulations, Cinema Sins. You shut Danae down for 5 minutes with laughter.
But I do want to tell you what Barrett had to say about this.
Sure, go for it.
He said, "Oh, Muppet's Christmas Carol. It's charming as fuck." That was all he said.
Nice.
Jeremy said he got really disturbed at the idea of the talking cabbage. He kind of got fixated on that a little bit.
Okay, can I just say, I edited this. I didn't write on it, but I did edit it. And one of the things when you're editing the videos is you can add the sentence at the end. And so it's kind of, you know, a fun way to do a little something in the video. And so I think is like Life of a Cabbage or something is what I went with. And then I took the Oh No, My Cabbages from
Avatar.
From Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Yes.
That just made me happy.
Yeah. The cabbage yells, "Help, I'm being stolen." And Jeremy goes on to say, "Imagine what he yells when the knife starts chopping him up in someone's kitchen." That's why horror movies and movies like this are so fun to sin, because you can just take everything at face value and it becomes ridiculous.
Right.
Which was super true. And as that was pointed out in the video as I watched it, there was like real cabbage and fake cabbage, and there was real food and fake food. And
mm-hmm.
the sin about like what sentient being gives them eyeballs and this, like, brings them to life, and it seems so random, and
mm-hmm.
that was just kind of fun to think about.
Yeah, what was the Seth Rogen movie that's basically the premise? Like, it's all about food from the supermarket, and then they find out that they're not going to heaven, but they're actually getting chopped up and eaten by people.
Oh my God,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's so raunchy. It's like supremely raunchy. I just can't remember what it's called, probably because I didn't enjoy it that much. But anyways,
Sausage Party.
Yeah, Sausage Party. That's the one. That's
I didn't see this, but I just typed in Seth Rogen food movie.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's Sausage Party.
Okay.
Yeah. If you ever decide to watch that, Danae.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear your thoughts.
Oh, no.
You're in for a trip.
Jeremy also said he got really bothered at Scrooge in general, not just in this adaptation, at the end of the movie, because he learned to be nice, but not only by means of his money, but only by means of his money. He literally throws money at poor kids to go buy turkey. He donates a ton of money to charity. So the only way he knows how to be good is by throwing money at things. And that's not a true change of heart. At least he doesn't. He did some research.
It might be an immature reaction to a true change.
Yeah.
Of heart.
Or the initial phases of your change.
Right.
Like, I have money. I'll
it's all
good.
He knows right now.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. So
we don't get to see Scrooge in 10
years. And by the
years.
Way, if you have money, using it to do good for people is not an awful thing. Like,
no.
You know, that's.
No. I always give my extra change at McDonald's to the Ronald McDonald house. And I'm
rounded
making
up.
A difference.
One of my sons came to me and he was like, I rounded it up at Taco Bell the other day to help such and such. And I was like, oh, you're sweet. That's
Uncle
awesome.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your 30 cents makes a difference.
It does.
It really does.
It actually really does. Sure. Mm-hmm.
He also did some research a little bit on the all the money in the world situation, which is mentioned in the script. So he wanted to make sure he got
the Marky Mark thing.
Yeah. He wanted to make sure he got the details right. They did reshoots on the movie to recast Kevin Spacey's role, and Marky Mark was paid, in all caps, way more than Michelle Williams.
Yeah,
for the
a ridiculous amount more.
And then when it came out in the news, Marky just donated the money to charity, and that is not learning a lesson.
Again, benefit of the doubt, it could be. That itself does not indicate necessarily a lesson learned, but it also doesn't indicate that the lesson hasn't been learned either. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know,
I think his genuine point is that change of heart, if you're wealthy, doesn't just mean throw money.
Correct.
Around.
Doesn't just mean that.
Yeah. And we don't get to see that story in
right.
the Christmas
exactly.
Carol. That the story ends when everybody eats a fat, uncooked turkey.
Which is so ridiculous.
It's true, though.
Yeah.
It
it's like
plops
thanks.
Down a raw turkey.
You brought us a turkey. It's a huge turkey.
And the whole city's there.
I'll have it ready by tomorrow. Unless you want it brined, then maybe we're talking 2 days from now.
It's good stuff. I love Jeremy's pep talk at the top of this video when he's kind of pepping himself up, mm-hmm. like, okay, I can do this. I can send this charming movie. And it's just a fun way to start this whole, you know, video off is the idea that the narrator is sitting in front of Mir going, you got this, like slapping his face, like, you can do this, you can do this.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that visual.
This one had a sin of the one of my favorite types of sins where it's kind of an offhanded comment that was within the sin that if you like stop and ponder, you have many questions about. Mm-hmm. The one about the ratsicles, he starts by saying, look, I've made ratsicles before. Yeah. Like that kind of thing is so fun to me. Those
right.
are some of my favorite to write too, where it's like, you know.
The idea that someday in the future, some super fan is going to write a Jeremy the Narrator wiki fan page.
Right.
That has like all of these escapades. And so when something is mentioned like ratsicles, they mm-hmm. would go to the wiki fan page and they would update it with something like
skills.
In 2004, Jeremy had to survive in the tundra and make ratsicles or whatever. Like the idea of that is so fun because
yeah.
it is this ridiculous world building thing
yeah. Yeah.
that we're doing.
I love throwing that kind of stuff in. So I like that.
I learned a new word. I learned, oh God, I forgot how to pronounce it already. Erasable?
Irascible.
Irascible,
mm-hmm.
which
yeah.
means having or showing a tendency to be easily angered.
Yep.
And I learned today that I am that. That's me. I am.
The irascible Danae Hughes.
Irascible, which sounds super cool.
The irascible rascal.
Irascible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make that my new Twitter handle. the one that got me the most was when Jeremy mimics Gonzo and talks about the interspecies Christmas orgy Bob
counterclockwise
mm-hmm. the Bob really having to stroke his cloaca counterclockwise.
Yeah,
it's not just the words that are ridiculous,
it was the words
me, but it was how Jeremy delivered it.
It's perfect,
as if he were a Muppet, like
yes.
And it's right after Gonzo, and Gonzo's Muppet voice is just silliness, of course.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of sounded like he was mimicking Gonzo a little bit.
Yeah,
but in like CinemaSins world, which is super inappropriate. And so for it to be a super inappropriate moment about stroking a cloaca counterclockwise,
yeah.
It was too good.
Yeah, I'm really glad that the cloaca has become synonymous with our work.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. It's wonderful to get the tweets from Spies in Disguise
uh-huh.
When the movie talks about cloacas and everybody's like, hey guys.
Or is it cloaca? That was another thing.
Pronunciation.
We've gotten notes on pronunciation
before. Yeah. It's fine either way.
Who cares?
Yeah.
All I know is that slayed me.
This isn't a GIF GIF situation. There isn't a right or wrong answer.
Hey, I actually wrote it. I wrote a sin recently
yeah.
where the word GIF is mm-hmm. written, and I did not give a narration prompt.
Oh.
So we're going to see what happens with that.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I thought for sure. Listen, I thought for sure. Culture was heading down the road of GIF, you know, because it stands for graphics interchange format. And we all know I choose to say GIF, right?
And we all know I am a GIFer.
You are a GIFer. But a lot of the like big writing companies have come out with their like official style guides for their podcasting networks and stuff. And they're telling their people to say GIF. So now I'm not so sure who's going to win.
Who cares?
Nobody cares.
I do.
Except me. All right.
Anything else?
No, I think we're good to move on to It's a Wonderful Life, if you're ready. This was an Atkinson Dicer script. Chris and I wrote on this. My family and I watch this every single year. We love it. We know every line. It was so fun to send this movie. If you ever get a chance to send a movie that you know front to back, it's a great experience because you are finding you've already kind of experienced watching something fairly in depth if you've watched it that much. So then you even go that next level of really looking at all the background details. And, you know, there was stuff I picked up on that even watching it every year for 20 years or whatever we have, I never picked up on before. So that's kind of fun, right? Like to have that experience. So yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Are you going to hate it next year when you watch it?
No. Well, I send it before we watched it this year.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So you
are. Because we're ahead. You know, we work ahead.
Right. That's true. That's true. That's
so, and we watch it on Christmas Eve. So,
did you even have to watch it to send it? Considering you've
yes.
seen it so many. Okay. Okay.
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah. I love this movie. What's your experience with the movie? Have you ever sat through it or just seen pieces of it?
I think I've sat through it once and I was trying to remember the plot. Just a couple weekends ago, because when we went down to Justin and Iris and I went down to Branson to a theme park called Silver Dollar City, and they every Christmas they have like a play that you can go and watch.
Oh yeah,
and it's a Wonderful Life has been playing there for I don't even know how many years. It's very popular, and we went I don't know like 5 years ago, and that was the second kind of experience with it. But when I was there just a couple weekends ago, I was trying to remember what the plot was, and I could not remember.
Yeah,
I know there was something about him like either seeing himself as if like a Christmas future or past kind of a scenario, but I totally forgot that he was
not really.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah,
I just knew that there was something where he was outside of the normal.
Right,
and I couldn't remember any of that. I knew there's an angel that gets his wings. That's about it. So,
well, let me tell you the plot. From front to back. You know what's interesting about this movie is
there's a Doctor Who version of this
there is
too?
A Doctor Who version of it. Is the part of the movie of the plot that people usually remember is the part you're talking about, which is that he says he wished he had never been born, and so he's shown what the world is like if he had never been born.
Right.
That's like the last 15 minutes of the movie. There's 2 hours of the movie before you even get there, which is a really strange plot structure. So
it says a lot that the rest of it's forgettable. Except for the last 15 minutes.
Except it's not.
Isn't it, though? I wouldn't say that I'm like against it or anything.
Right. But what I'm saying is it spends that time basically showing you this life and all the details of this life that are going to become important later. But a movie now would absolutely start with that big, idea and then intermittently give you the backstory.
Like flashbacks or something.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of like this doing it the way it does because it's so different than everything else. And I don't know.
Well, they didn't know better. It was the 40s.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I was excited to see it and be reminded about it. Mm-hmm. I was also excited because that's where our Behind the Sins ad is. And I'm really proud of that. I'm excited that we're like getting to kind of see the development of our show and then go into the outtakes. So I was excited to watch this one for multiple reasons.
Yeah.
I also asked Chris what his thoughts were too. So do you want me to read from Chris or would you like to talk about your experience?
No, I want to hear what Chris had to say.
He said, A Wonderful Life is another example of how innocent movie meets sin's universe and you generate some of your best material during it.
Yeah, it was funny to hear everybody like, wow, Christmas week you did Muppet Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life. It's like, so you have chosen death.
Yes.
Yeah.
He says it came from an uncynical time, so all of the stuff it does innocently gets touched under our asshole lens. And I'm glad I finally got to lay into that dude who wants his full $242 from George and his honeymoon money when there's a run in the banks, and he was totally willing to take $121 from Potter. That's the stuff that, like, as I watched, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
You know, and it was kind of confusing a little bit because, of course, we're clipping through it. We're not in full story. It was like, oh, yeah, this happened and this happened. How is it? He said, I enjoy being playful with the God stuff at the beginning. No offense intended, but every time you play in that sandbox, you tend to veer into offensive territory. And I'm glad also we were able to discuss the butterfly effect. Much like time travel movies, It's a Wonderful Life has a simplistic view about what changes when you take one element out of a timeline. And I kind of want to pause there because I really did enjoy the butterfly effect conversation.
Yeah.
Because there was really good examples of like, okay, but then would the brother have gone into the ice if he wasn't egged on? By
of
his,
course not.
Yeah. Or okay. So you know,
he wouldn't have even been there.
He didn't go on to save people at the war, but maybe somebody else would have been. And like, it's an interesting thing to say. A reverse of this that really drives me nuts is, and it happened in a script recently from one of the TV shows that we've got coming up. The comment was something like, well, imagine what the world would be like without Da Vinci. It's like, well, you can't.
Right.
You can't imagine what it would be like without Da Vinci. We just wouldn't know anything about Da Vinci. Like, we would all go on. We would all
and
just
somebody
exist.
Else may have had the ideas that he had or,
right.
you know, done the art that he did. Maybe mm-hmm. not in exactly the same way, but somebody else would have filled that void. Maybe. Maybe not. You know. Yep. It's really interesting thinking about the philosophy of this movie because it is so narcissistic. This idea that you are so important that if you disappear, the whole world falls apart is, and I think we pointed out a couple times with like the cop who turns from this like friendly neighborhood cop into like shooting into a crowd and the bartender who all of a sudden is a complete jerk just because George never existed. Mm-hmm. So why did his personality change?
Like, I think obviously the purpose of it is to try to have the audience like realize that our decision to try to be kind or our decision to try to make a difference can make a bigger impact than you could ever imagine. And that's
true.
And that's true. But, you know, if you don't do it, somebody else might do it.
Yeah.
And it's not all on you. Like,
right.
What a crazy...
And your value isn't tied up in it.
I mean, it would be a really depressing movie if it was like, okay, you don't exist anymore. And then it's like,
the world's the same. Which is pretty much probably how it would be.
Yeah.
But there's actually a really beautiful point there, too.
Yeah.
Which is there's a freedom there to understand everything doesn't depend on you.
And the point was kind of made with his wife. Like, you guys made the point in the script, you know, like, looks like she's fine. Like, God forbid she doesn't have a child. Like, oh, her purpose as a woman is not fulfilled. She's wearing glasses and looking very demure.
Right.
Is that the right word? No. She's not wearing makeup and her hair is obviously in a ponytail. God, no. No children. She's reading books. Something has
just
gone
the way
terribly
they say
wrong.
Old maid in that movie,
yeah,
I just
maid.
Made my skin crawl.
Yeah.
I was just like...
There was a lot of that stuff for me. I was cringing pretty hard.
The 40s.
I mean, like, there was
a lot of the nanny stuff.
Well, so I didn't get to see that because that really wasn't pulled into the Quick Sense video, but like when he, tell me if I'm getting this wrong, when he is expressing his love of this woman and that he wants to marry her, he's shaking her as if like trying to kill her.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about the phone scene where he's coming to terms with that he actually does love her and
he's
it's going
just
to
shaking her.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he's upset. He's angry. He's angry that he loves her. He's like,
and
because he wants
her.
To go travel.
And that this is normalized then. Like, a woman watching this is like, oh, he's showing emotion. and a woman now is like, get your freaking hands off my body. Don't touch me. I'm calling the police.
It is one of those reasons I do love watching these with, you know, kind of a modern eye is just to have those conversations. It's not even one of those things
like,
where it means,
like, yeah,
I'm not trying to cancel It's a Wonderful Life.
No, but you are trying to tell your children this is not normal behavior.
Right.
When you like a girl, please don't grab her by the shoulders and shake her.
Right.
Like you're trying to wake her up out of a trance or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a couple of those moments. Like even when he chases her down, the old maid, and he just grabs her in the street and spins around and shakes her.
Well, in
like,
that in
God.
That moment, he's lost his mind, right?
Like, well, he lost his mind when he had it then. I mean, stop grabbing girls.
That's always
sorry.
A good.
It's a very it's a very upsetting thing for me.
No, there are several moments like that in this.
Yeah. It happens in movies all the time. When I had to actually talk to my husband about this, because like if I'm walking away or something and he like still wants my attention, he used to just reach out and grab my arm, and I had to be like, "Don't grab me. I can turn around and look at you on my own.
Right.
Just talk to me." Like
right.
it's so ingrained to just reach out and grab somebody. And I think also because I'm like 5'5", also in my past, people will just pick me up and move. They won't say like, "Hey, can I get around you?" I've literally been picked up by strange people and moved.
It is something
so infuriating.
It is something I can never understand. You know what I mean? Like I could never understand what it's like to feel moved around in that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, so it's weird. It's infuriating.
Yeah.
And you just kind of have to kind of go, okay, am I going to like attack them for this? Am I going to just pretend like it didn't happen? Or,
yeah.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
But, you know, now it's different. Like, I'm not quite as triggered about it. But, like, anyways, watching those scenes in this one, instantly, I was like, I hate it. Chris went on to say, it was a joy to sin. There is a reason why the movie endures. It's always great to watch. The ending with the people giving their money to the Baileys always chokes me up, with that great line to George Bailey, the richest man in town.
Oh, it's, I cry every time. I've watched
it
20.
Was that you that wrote that, or was
that
him?
No, it was both of us. We both wrote Sins Off at the end. I've watched it 20 years in a row. I always tear up. There's something about the idea of community coming together to help someone in need that it nails it. Like everybody in that room is there to love him and to tell him he's loved. And I'm kind of tearing up just talking about it. Like there's something really beautiful about community, you know, coming together.
Yeah, but those people didn't do it on their own. They had to have Mary go and Mary, is that her name?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Yay.
No, there was a sin I think that got cut where I talk about how on the nose it is that she's called Mary in a Christmas movie.
Oh, and that's funny.
Because there's a line that's like, you know, Mary's having a baby or something. Anyways, yeah.
Because if she not done that, you guys...
She's the hero of
guys,
the movie.
Yeah, and I liked that was in there too, because you think about it, it's like, oh, it's true. So, you know, community will rally, but it does take someone to kind of take the helm and decide that attention needs to be put over here. Can somebody help?
Yeah. And then like the guys that are there to arrest him and the bank examiner.
Let them inside?
Well, but then they give money and then they're singing along too.
Yeah,
and it's just,
fun.
It's so beautiful. I do think there were a couple things we chose not to sin that kind of happened in that moment because I don't know that they're actually sins. We may have been able to find a take on them. But the idea that his friend Sam Wainwright is says, you know, up to 25 grand, whatever you need, my office is, you know, going to give you. Like, are all the other people then like, can I have my 100 back? Like,
yeah, right? Oh, it's covered.
You've got plenty now. And here's one that somebody, I think, mentioned in the comments that I wanted to address. Somebody said that we didn't address the fact that this doesn't take him off the hook. His business is still, you know, $8,000, you know, is missing. Mm-hmm. And actually, I researched that. It actually doesn't matter where that money comes from. If you make the dollars right, you're fine. Like, he can use that money they gave him to make the business numbers add up. That's totally fine. I did some research on that. And so
interesting.
So it doesn't necessarily matter, you know, where the money is found, as long as the money is accounted
for. Why are you researching that, Aaron? What nefarious thing are you planning? A couple of sins I really enjoyed. We talked about quite a few things already. I love the prohibition thing. I always forget prohibition was a thing.
It was a thing for like a decade.
I know. It's like crazy to me. And I do like pieces like this that remind you, like, this was in the 40s, and so it's just a different time.
Well, in the movie, that part of the movie takes place before the 40s, you know, it takes place in the 30s.
So. Right. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool. And then I really like the My Woke Meter is Broke regarding her in the bush.
I wanted to talk about this. I wrote that sin, and I genuinely started it by doing more of a kind of, you know, a doesn't age well kind of thing, which we do at other parts of the thing. And then I thought, I honestly don't know in this kid. Like, is it okay to kind of joke around like that with somebody you're a friend with? Now, he just kind of met her and it was their first date that night.
Yeah.
I want your opinion on this.
I think it was silly and fun.
Right.
I didn't get like the whole like.
But then there's part of me that's like, that's kind of sexual harassment. She's naked in a bush and she's not kidding when she's saying, give me my clothes back.
Right, right.
Right. She's not kidding.
But he did give her the clothes back, right?
No, not until they came and said his dad had died and he just kind of threw them to her.
Oh.
Like, no, he said, this is a very interesting situation.
Nice. And her little hand
and
is
we
just
laugh
out of
at
the
that
bush.
Line every time we watch the movie because it's such great delivery. But there is a part of me that's like, it's funny what you're doing, but at the same time, she seems to be serious about, I don't want to be naked in this bush. Please give me my clothes back.
Who does? Bushes are pokey.
Well, that's only really the first, you know, week or so after you shave, but.
Wow. I don't think we should answer any more of these bush questions. Let's just move on, shall we?
So what was your call? You think it's silly joking around and it's okay.
I do not speak for all things.
Of course, of course, of course, of course. But my woke-o-meter's broken. I need some help.
My woke-o-meter might be broken too. I'm just saying, like, for the brief moment that I saw, because I haven't seen the movie in context,
right.
might bother me if I watch the full scene. But I think, like, two people who are kind of, like, flirtatiously, like, dating and kind of falling in love, and then there's this kind of funny moment, you know, where he's kind of holding her clothing kidnapped and then gives it back to her.
And we don't know how it would have resolved.
Right.
If there hadn't been that emergency. But it's so hilarious because I think it's the funniest part of the movie because she says something like, you know, I'll tell your mom. And he's like, well, my mom's like two blocks that way. So, you know, that kind of thing. And he's like, I'll call the police. And he's like, yeah, they'd be on my side. You know, that kind of stuff. So I don't know. It's hilarious, but it's interesting.
I would be frustrated.
Yeah.
If that was me. But at the same time, if it all resolves itself and like there's still respect. I think there's a joking.
There's
respect.
A line, right? Like teasing.
And I don't know
abuse.
What that is.
Like, yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't either. I think it's great to talk about, though. I was, for whatever reason, very proud of Make It Rain Man, which it just hit me in the moment because he's trying to count this money just by rifling through it.
That was such a good one, too, because Rain Man can like count toothpicks instantly
or
just whatever.
As soon as they fall on the floor. So, I enjoyed writing that. And we already talked about The Old Maid. That line just made my skin crawl.
And rightly so.
Oh, and the other thing we haven't mentioned that I think is a huge, you know, just kind of when you really think about a flaw of the movie is George's stubbornness in still thinking that people should know who he is. Like, you know, I think in the Sins video we talk about how the sign now says a completely different town name.
Yeah.
Why do you not believe what's going on? Like, what is going on that you think every single person that you experience is going to know who you are?
For the plot.
For the plot. Yeah, exactly.
For the plot. Yeah, if this movie was to be redone, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what, man, they'd have to change a lot.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my. Every time I talk. Wow. Is this how Aaron feels? When we're. Okay. We're gonna try this. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasins.com/BTS. So go fill it out.
You ready to move on to keeping tabs?
Yep.
Let's do it.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
Let's take a look at a story from putting together the week's content. It could be a Google search, some strange research, maybe a deleted sin. I'll go first. This is from Rick and Morty, and this was in the comment section quite a bit. But I'll deal with it here because I actually, you know, kind of want to talk about this in terms of, you know, like researching the episode. But the sin was, this time travel box hasn't paid off, and I'm calling it. It's been long enough. I want some time travel shenanigans. This container has been teasing me since episode one, and my flux is at full capacitor.
Ooh, such a good line. It's too bad that the Rick and Morty show just came. came out with their travel video.
So what crazy timing.
Yeah.
That episode literally released the day before this dropped.
And we did the script weeks before.
Sure, of course. And so it's kind of one of those things where, yes, we knew. Like, I watch Rick and Morty as soon as it airs. I just saw the time travel episode, realized I had written this sin.
Too late.
And I just choose to believe that I put it out there in the universe, and the universe delivered.
It happen.
But it's so funny to read the comments where they're like, are you not paying attention to the season?
Didn't you know?
It's like, I did the research.
That sin shouldn't count.
I have always thought this about Rick and Morty. Is like, it'd be hilarious to see what they do with time travel. And yes, I know the time travel on the shelf is a metaphor, you know, for that they're shelving time travel. Like, I get that. But it's one of those things where I'm just like, huh, interesting timing. So
you were a genius.
But I did the research. I was like,
nobody,
I'm going to go back
you.
And make sure that there haven't been any actual time travel episodes in
sure.
the show, even though I've watched them all and I don't remember them.
But it's not like you could know the future.
No. Which is interesting, considering
interesting.
It's time travel. So.
Oh. I didn't write on anything this week, but during the show, I definitely did some keeping tabs for who the 13th Doctor was and what Sausage Party was. So that's my research for the week.
You weren't on any of the scripts this week.
No. But
what about an interesting or fun story from just like the process of being on the Sins team over the holidays?
Keeping tabs in my real life.
Yeah. Well, or the just
how
even
quickly
involves...
can you get me a backup Christmas present, Amazon? That was research. Oh, for CinemaSin.
Sure. Yeah. Just kind of a peek behind the curtain on, you know, something else, since you didn't necessarily write on anything this week.
So the things I kind of really focused on during last week, which again was a little weird because we all kind of took some time off. Which, can we just say huge props to everybody on the CinemaSin team?
Yeah.
The writing, the editing, all of the different communication that had to happen so that people take time off and be with their family. Like, it was a big push as content creators. You know, it's a lot of work. You guys,
yeah,
you guys don't take off.
I remember when I started in radio, I had my first manager told me that it's one of those things when you deliver 24-hour content consistent content. It's a little different. You have to plan a little differently to take those days off. And so it was impressive to watch everybody say, hey, have a Merry Christmas and get everything done ahead of time. And it was awesome.
The stuff that I kind of really focused on was trying to make sure like the communication was done, because that's one of the things I do behind the scenes that I haven't really talked about a lot. But I do a lot of like admin work and project management, mm-hmm. I guess is probably the easiest way to describe it. So like, for example, leading up to Christmas, it was gathering like everything that's happening, everything that's due, everything that's posting, all the projects, who's off, who's where, da da da, and then like getting it condensed down into one email so that everyone knew what was happening not only last week but like the next week, because mm-hmm. when you take time off and you come back, your brain's kind of scrambled, and so
yeah, for sure,
like, what day is it?
Oh my goodness, Wednesday Christmas is just it's mind altering.
Yeah, I
spent all day Thursday thinking it was Saturday.
It
was crazy,
and we went out of town before Christmas, so it was like we were out of town, then we're back for one day, then we're off for, like, we're on one, off two, like, it's been bonkers. But I really spent a lot of my time, you know, making sure social media was good. I know that we are very much about like mental health and being able to talk about like the highs and lows of life really boldly, which is one of the reasons I love being on the team, because I do that. I just, mm-hmm. as you guys are experiencing, I just talk out of my ass about my life and it's just where I'm at. So like, I was monitoring Twitter and sending messages and just trying to stay connected. So that's probably the behind the scenes stuff that I did.
It was really it's really impressive to watch everybody, you know, do their job over holidays and times when everybody's taking it off.
Because
we'll have times when somebody, you know, goes mm-hmm. on vacation or whatever. But when it's everybody, like, you know, doing the holiday thing, it's different. It reminds me of, I'm going to do something really strange. I'm going to compare being a writer for CinemaSins to being a pastor of a church.
Okay. Well, I'm going to check out for a couple minutes and listen to my voicemail.
No, I just remember my dad talking about, because my dad's a pastor of a church. I remember my dad talking about this thing that people who have never understood the work that goes into what it means to pastor a church think that he's got an hour a week job. You know, he goes to to preach for an hour. That's all he has to do every week is stand up and preach for an hour. And sometimes it can kind of feel that way with the YouTube videos, right? It's like, well, you just put a 19-minute YouTube video out twice a week. We work, what, 40 minutes a week? You know, wah, wah. It's like,
and then we do the math and it's like, no, that was like 40 hours.
Right. Like it's,
that was an entire week's effort.
It's so, yeah, to be on the inside and seeing how many moving cogs there are, how many people are, you know, making it happen is really impressive.
And part of what I hope to do is try to bring some efficiency to it. So it's like, if we have a centralized calendar, then maybe that helps. Or if everybody knows where the script is, you know, in our storage system, maybe that helps. And so I'm kind of trying to be that person to try to maybe shave off an hour of that.
Well, there you go. That's interesting. That's a little bit more kind of behind the scenes outside of the writing process. So fun stuff. You ready to move on to the comment section?
Let's do it. I want to know
what you're thinking. I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're each going to pick a comment or two to respond to from the week's videos. We'll also do a general feedback question here as well. Danae, you go first this time. What'd you find in the comment section?
Well, I've already talked quite a bit about the comments during it, so I'm going to Twitter to Ian, who sent us a message after we launched our new Twitter handle, which again is at CinemaSinsBTS, if you want to follow there. Said, I love the whole CinemaSins crew. You are super respectful, entertaining, and the way that you promote mental health is fantastic. My day would be emptier without you guys.
Aww.
And I just wanted to say thank you for that. We see comments like this. There was actually one, I think, that happened. So today's Monday when we record this podcast. I think I just saw this morning that somebody messaged something very similar to VideoSins, which is the account that Barrett manages. Same kind of thing, like that channel started in a really hard time for them. And we really appreciate that feedback because I think sometimes it can be a little bit surprising, right? That we're making sort of snarky videos, but it's entertaining and it's uplifting. And I think that we forget how important entertainment is. And it's something we forget how positive it can be to just, you know, laugh about a cloaca. Like, it's just, it's important to kind of pull out of the
cloaca laughs are so important.
They're so important, you guys. So, Ian, we see you. Thank you for your comment. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I think they were talking about the Sincast. The podcast celebrated its 4-year anniversary. And so I think that in that celebration, people were talking about how much it's meant to have that weekly content to just, you know, go into. And it's been fun to watch it expand, you know, to this podcast, new CinemaSins channels, and a lot of that's thanks to our members who are able to do that for us. So
members on Patreon, and a shout out to like the Discord channels where we've been having very passionate Skywalker conversations. And then it just shifts into where someone messages like, hey, I'm having a really rough day today. Today's going to be rough if you guys can send me some love. And then there's just like an outpouring of appreciation. So the community is really cool. And if you want to get involved more in the community and you want to do it on Discord, and you can always just send a direct message to any of the Twitter channels and we'll get it to you.
Yeah, and if you're following our Reddit, I think there's a link there as well too.
Oh, yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah, you can hang out with us on Discord. My comment, I have a couple that I'll mention. Davis wanted to let me know. Says, Aaron, Hera is a Twi'lek. Ahsoka is a Torguda, and the horns are called Montrals.
Oh, from Star Wars.
From Star Wars last week. So,
you know what?
What?
I also want to have... This is for Jonathan. Jonathan, this is for you.
You're pulling out the puppet?
Hey, Danae! I forgot what voice I was using earlier.
It's a relief to have that puppet outside of me.
Hello. It was very, very scary. No, Jonathan went to look up the voice of Shrimply Pibbles.
Oh, yeah.
Who was not the voice of Shrimply Pibbles.
Right.
But what's that guy's name? Werner Herzog. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it came back up in conversation. On Werner Herzog's IMDb, he is listed as the voice of Shrimply Pibbles.
Well, let's just say that maybe we were right.
Maybe we were right and we should.
Maybe we weren't, but who knows?
We don't know, but I had to bring that back up this is for Jonathan, because if he was here, he would be talking about it today.
That's right. All I know is the world of Star Wars is there are so many things I don't know, and I would never know those names. But what I do know is apparently having Montrals is one of my kinks, because those things, for whatever reason, I find super sexy.
There's no kink shaming in that.
But this is the comment we'll focus on. This is from Nasty Bedazzler. he just says, or he or she. says, LOL, the college girlfriend jokes never get old when they very much should get old, and yet I laugh at them every single time anyway. And then Larry follows up with a comment, that along with band names. And I think that's kind of one of the special things about recurring jokes is they don't get old. They're just, they always, yeah. And I know this from my own experience with running gags in pop culture, where it's like, you've done that a million times,
who
and
cares?
I laugh every time, yeah. You know, whether it's Archer, you know, with running gags about, you know, that's how you get ants, or running gags about, you know, phrasing. But it's kind of one of those things where it doesn't get old. So,
do I get to do another one?
Sure.
This is from Paul on Twitter. I tweeted this morning letting him know we're recording today. Paul says, It's a Wonderful Life is secretly a horror movie, and the Muppets are still awesome. Mariah is a force of nature. I just thought that was very, very scary. The It's a Wonderful Life is secretly a horror movie is a really interesting concept.
It needs one of those like trailer remakes.
Yes.
Where it's remade as a horror movie.
So scary.
Yeah.
So appropriate.
Let's move on to the question. This comes to us from Austin at GreenArrow07 on Twitter. Hey guys, I love the podcast and I'm glad that the recording process is working. Definitely miss Jonathan on there.
Hey, what a weird week for us to be answering your question.
I wasn't even going to read that first paragraph.
You have
but
to
I just,
today.
The irony of it, hey, that, you know.
Sometimes it happens where we just only have two and we can't get a backup quick enough.
I always love listening while driving my 30 minutes to and from work.
I have a 30-minute commute too.
Nice.
We're friends.
So my question is one I actually thought about at work. I get bored fairly easily and began wondering this myself. If you could pick a movie character to become the host of their own reality show, I love this question, who would it be and why? Also can work for TV characters as well. My example is Jules from Pulp Fiction doing a food review show in the vein of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Don't know why this came to me, but in Pulp Fiction, he seemed to love talking about food. Could see him being a foodie or Yelp reviewer in modern times now that he's retired. Danae, what did you come up with? I have a couple, but did you come up with any for this?
Okay, so this is going to be a little lame and it might be like, I don't know, it's kind of silly, but I'm going to go Little Mermaid and I'm going to go the kind of show where she like travels to different places.
So Ariel's the host?
Ariel
with legs or without legs?
With
shell bra or no shell bra?
With shell bra.
I mean like
not
a
that
shirt.
Matter. Not that that matters.
I don't mean
wow.
With the shell bra off.
She's like 12.
I'm sorry, I may be revealing
it's fine.
Thoughts I had growing up.
The idea is that, you know, like those antiquing shows where they kind of go in and show like the value and worth of this?
Yes.
But it's
through
Ariel's eyes because she doesn't know what anything is
That is great.
Yeah. So it's kind of like it's like education about history, but also like the understanding
and
of value.
And she is the person giving the value, right?
Sure.
So she's like, so I like your thingamajig here.
Right.
This is, you know,
and Scuttle,
this thingamajig
Scuttle
has...
Scuttle would be her like sidekick, you know, like helping her, maybe like her co-host or something, because he's the one that knows everything.
I think you're going to be happy to know that the thingamajig you brought with you is worth 5 whatchamacallits.
Now I feel like we're in a Rick and Morty episode.
I will buy it.
When the
interdimensional cable.
Yeah, the interdimensional
cable. That is basically this question is create your own interdimensional cable show.
Yes. She's involved somehow with the antiquing. Whether she goes and finds things and then she brings them and learns whether they're valuable or not, or she's giving the value. I could see it kind of going either way. Maybe there's like specialty back and forth.
I think it's funnier to have her be the expert.
Right.
You know, and everybody's just looking at her like, you don't know a thing you're talking about.
Well, you know, like all those collections of buttons that are everywhere would suddenly have like the most value.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And nobody cares about that cobalt glass anymore at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
That's amazing. My first thought was Jigsaw from the Saw movies hosting Survivor.
Jeez. Did you okay?
Dark.
You all right?
but my serious answer is I want to see the emotions from Inside Out hosting a relaunch of the panel show What's My Line. This was a panel show way back in the day.
I loved that show.
It's so fun. And it's basically they're trying to guess what somebody's job is just by looking at them, by asking them yes or no questions. There are certain rules to it, that kind of thing. I just think it would be so fun for the different individual emotions in Inside Out for their personalities to come through in what that person's job was, what they thought it was, you know, their reaction to things. I think the emotions from Inside Out would do a great panel show.
Quick question about Inside Out.
Yeah.
But it goes over into somebody else's head and they're all like anger but different colors.
Yeah.
So Are we getting the variety on your show? Is it?
Oh, I'm just talking about the ones we know from her head.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
From Riley's head. I'm just talking about Riley's head
emotions.
Yes. I'm sorry. I should have stated that more clearly. Riley's
emotions
that we know from Inside Out. Got Everybody's head is different. So Inside Out is my go-to expanded universe question.
I noticed that.
I want to know so much more about that. I'm so excited for Pixar's movie Soul that's coming out this next year because it's by the same guy, Pete Docter, directed it. Same guy that did Inside Out, and it kind of has Inside Out vibes. Like it's kind of like, you know, your soul is a character and it's got a music element to it. And
okay,
so yeah,
all right,
yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, I can tell your eyes are glowing. Great question, that was
fun. We appreciate that.
You can send your questions to us, bts@cinemasins.com or behindthesins@cinemasins.com, or you can do our Gmail account, whatever you want.
Behindthesinspod@gmail.com.
They all work.
They do.
But we got new emails, yeah.
Aaron@cinemasins.com works.
Danae@cinemasins.com
works.
I think Queen of Tots is one. Talk Queen is another.
Dicer@cinemasins.com.
Let me go add that one. Let me go add that one real quick.
All right, let's move on to Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Let's chat about something else from the world of pop culture that we've interacted with recently.
I want to talk about something today that is not a game.
What?
I'm going to give you a gaming update in the outtakes. Calm down, my beloved gaming friends. I guessed it on a podcast. It's a really small little podcast, so it's like not like a huge big deal. One of the requests that you guys have is for us to guest on more shows. This particular podcast was one that I already kind of had on my schedule to do. I met the host of the show through like a D&D kind of forum. She has another podcast that she does where she interviews D&D characters. I found that to be very fascinating.
Sure.
And we got to talking and I didn't really feel like I was going to jump in on that train because she has another podcast called An Incomplete Guide to World Domination, which of course I was really excited about. And essentially it's just her interviewing people that are kind of, you know, out there doing their thing just to learn more about like how they got their start or what they're doing. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I was a guest on this one. So if you want to hear more about like me and what I've and more from like a, it's just different perspective. It's not all about CinemaSins. It's like how I got to be where I am today and those kinds of things. I really had a good time. I had a great conversation with Brianna. So if you want to check it out, it's called An Incomplete Guide to World Domination.
Oh, it's incomplete.
Because I think she's going to be interviewing people forever.
I want a complete guide to world domination.
I did tweet it out. So if you need a quick link, you can find it. Anyway, that's what I thought I'd let you know. A little self-plug for today.
Very nice. I finished off Mr. Robot. The TV show has been on 4 seasons. And they announced this was the final season. And so they kind of finished off that storyline. Mr. Robot is an interesting...
It just finished?
Yeah, season 4. They had a lot of I mean, a lot of shows these days take their time between seasons, which I think is great.
That just seems like a lot. I don't know. I guess I'm used to the Netflix dump, right? I'm used to just everything is produced.
Where you watch Netflix while you're pooping. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I love that. That's so satisfying. Except for thinking about poop getting on your screen. That's not
how
good.
Are you watching Netflix that you would have fecal transfer to your cell phone, Danae?
Do you know nothing about fecal transfer?
Well, I do. I know that it's all around us. I just mean, you know.
Like when you flush, it just flies out everywhere.
That's true. Fair point. That's why you should close the lid before you flush.
Oh, okay.
That will help.
Okay.
And that has been Pooping Tips with Behind the Sins.
All right, our newest segment. Look how far we fall without Jonathan.
Anyhow, Mr. Robot finishes up its 4th season just about a week or two ago, and I really loved this show when it came out. Sam Esmail is, I think, a brilliant storyteller. Like, he's got a mind for really interesting twists and turns and how to, you know, bring people along in a story. I kind of faded away during season 3, and when I say faded away, I kept watching, but I just mean it just didn't find it as interesting.
You were multitasking while watching.
It was a little wandering.
You were watching and doing something else.
Well, I had that instinct, which I've never had with Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers Robot.
Mr. Rajbot. I've had that instinct with Mr. Robot, or I haven't had that instinct before season three to be like, I kind of do want to be on my phone. Like, I'm not zoned into this.
Let's merge some dragons.
But you know what happened in season four? It came back for me. I was really impressed with the way they wrapped this up, especially the 2-hour finale. I thought was, it kind of felt like...
Well, that's satisfying.
It was very satisfying. And that's not been common with TV shows ending recently. So congratulations, Mr. Robot. I really think you brought it all around in a satisfying way and made a very compelling final, especially final 2 hours of the show.
Nice.
It did kind of feel like... It kind of feel like there were 2 or 3 more seasons of information that they put into that final 2 hours. Like, you could see some of the reveals and stuff that was happening. Like, they could have spent a whole 10 episodes on.
Right.
Which I actually really enjoyed, that it was all just, it was like a movie where, you know, the story was changing and coming at you fast, but it all worked. And I don't know. I really thought it was good. I really enjoyed
it. That's
good. So,
because I thought Mr. Robot season one was really fascinating.
It was.
But I didn't watch anything after season one because I have the thing where I don't want to keep going if it's good, because it's like, let's just end on a high note, which is why I'm only having one child. She's great. Let's just end on a high note.
And we've had a great episode, so this is the end of BTS.
Yes, that's it. It's exactly
and
right.
And Jonathan somewhere going, what?
Wait, what?
Oh, you can do that? No.
So when I tweeted that I was launching my own podcast, I started getting messages like, does this mean you're leaving BTS? Yes, that's right.
No, it just means we're crazy and we do 3 or 4 podcasts a week. That's all it means.
Hey,
we
are insane. I didn't say a weekly podcast.
That's true.
I just said a podcast.
You didn't say that.
That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it.
Because it was such a fascinating idea, too.
Yeah. So. And I think they kind of had to end it because he's won Oscars and stuff now. Like, he's
you can't pay the man enough
now. He's a big deal.
That's right.
Rami Malek. That's going to wrap it up for Behind the Sins this week. Don't forget to make sure you are subscribed and go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. You can hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. She is at Danae Says.
DeneeSays.
And we have very much missed the amazing at Sam Loomis 13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Danae Hughes, and myself, we'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to behindthesinspod@gmail.com and be sure to subscribe or message us at Twitter, and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
I need to remember that the way that it sounds is not the way it's going to sound, because it sounds horrible.
It sounds horrible.
Horrible. Yeah. Like, put my buddies on. Put your muffs over your face. This does not sound good.
Doesn't?
No.
It sounds good to me.
Oh, God.
Somewhere beyond the sins, somewhere waiting with wheat thins
and some cheese. Can I talk about the same game 2 weeks in a row?
No. No, you can't.
But something cool happened. Remember how I talked about that?
We can talk about what cool happened, but not don't use it for Beyond the Sins.
Okay.
What cool happened?
Well, you remember how I was talking about Brawl Stars and I said that I made a little clan and if anyone wanted to come and join? I have people join me.
Oh, nice.
I have a merry band of 7.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'm very excited about it. I don't know if they're going to continue to play or not. You know, like, they're new people. There's Pool and Chris and Scabbed Wings and AJ Crash and Scruff McGruff and Groot and myself.
Nice.
And the 7 of us are tackling all of the adventures of this game.
Well, that's fun.
I know. I hope they like it.
Because if they don't, they'll blame you forever. I made the mistake of starting a game called Merge Dragons.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay, I've played
the ads all over the place.
I've played that so many times.
You have played it?
Yes. I played it. I got pretty far in the game, and then I was like, okay, I need to take a break. I deleted it, and there's no saved account. You have to start all over again.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Bull crap.
This was a bad idea for me.
Yeah.
Pretty much every mobile game is a bad idea for me. I have a sickness.
Yeah.
I have to be the best.
Yeah.
And to do that, I have to be on it all the time.
Right.
And that's just not okay. I've got stuff to do.
Yeah,
I've got a family to stay connected to and all sorts of fun responsibilities. So,
and a job too.
And they don't include seeing what the next level of thorny bush is.
It's like, what happens if you merge the bushes together?
Right. There's two more levels, and then there's a wonder.
What happens if you merge all those? What if you save all the coins and you don't actually touch them? You merge all the coins together.
Yeah, it keeps on going. You get to the ring, and then there's one above the ring that I haven't got to yet.
We'll just merge them all together.
And it's worth like $25,000.
Yeah, I could click on it, but then I won't have it.
Right.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to see my merge dragons home base?
Yes. How long have you been playing?
Less than a month.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
So, but I slay the events. Like when they do a 2-day event.
Oh no!
Like I kill it.
You're in trouble. This is bad.
So this is my home base.
Wow.
Up here are all my mushrooms. These two big ones are like two away from a wonder.
Okay.
Which is like there's nothing above that. Yeah. I have one wonder. This is the wonder for these bushes. So it's now nice because I've got the wonder for the bushes, so I just leave two bushes out there, and anything that makes bushes I just sell.
Yeah,
because I've already done it.
Well, and you know, who doesn't love a wonder bush?
Here is my flower section and my tree section.
Yeah, I see that.
My life-giving section here, these flowers.
Wow.
So, and then down here are my eggs for more dragons. Uh-huh. Here's my coin collection I'm working on. So, and then I've got my spooky trees over here.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then my regular trees up here.
That's right.
Then I've got some gift fountains and some special things I got from Vents up here.
Wow.
Then I've got my golden trees over here. And then I've got my rock collection over here, which gives you more of the, like, the iron. And, like, I kill it on the, like, these two are the biggest irons you can get.
You can't even go
higher than that. They're worth,
so
like, 25,000
each. That's
so, like, I can buy all the iron stuff. And then I've got my dragon heads down here. And then every once in a while, I can just push them all and they spit out bones.
And then
I can make a ton of flowers with those bones. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's so cool.
Or dumb.
I like how you said, do you want to see it? And then you never actually handed it to me because you're so excited.
Just don't touch. You know what I mean? Like, don't accidentally collect coins or iron.
Oh, my God.
Or,
you're right. I could totally mess this up.
You could, like, ruin, weeks of work.
But where are the floaty things that just float out here in the ether?
That float out in the ether?
Yeah. Maybe they changed the game.
Well, they've got those little things you can make plants with. I don't even bother with those, though.
Here, I found some. I'm going to click them. click. I click two things. I click three things.
Oh, no. This is probably good. This way, I'll never want to go back again.
Okay, I've clicked it. I've clicked three.
I've collected
things.
All your gold, Aaron.
I did good. Yeah.
It reminds me of the last time I went frisbee golfing. Did I tell you this story? My son and I have been going disc golfing on the weekend. We have a couple nice courses around here. And it's, you know, they're usually at parks, right? And they're walking trails. And so you have to wait for people to walk by and not hit them with your, you know, frisbees. Because these are hard frisbees,
that's
by the way.
Preferred.
They're not, these aren't like, you know, your regular throwing frisbee.
And which is what? Made of blubber?
Well, the regular ones are flexible and soft. These are hard. Like, these are hard plastic.
I've never played with a not hard frisbee.
What? Okay, well, then these are super hard. Think of a frisbee hard, you know.
Like a hubcap hard?
Yes. Like
metal?
Like, yes. Like, so, like, they have to be able to hit trees and damage the tree, not the frisbee. Like, you know, that's the kind of thing.
So you're throwing weapons.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Anyhow.
Which is part of the fun.
So I threw my drive down, landed, you know, just to the right of the cage. Mm-hmm. And
can we call it your damage drive?
Why? What?
Because it's a weapon.
Oh, okay. Sure. Call it whatever you want.
Yeah. Call the destroyer.
It's technically a long distance driver. I think it's called a Puma or something like that.
Yeah, the Puma.
So I threw my Puma and it landed, you know, really great throw right between the cage that I'm aiming for and the walkway. And so as we're walking to the cage, some nice older lady picked up my frisbee and threw it back to me. Because she thought she was helping because we were playing frisbee and, you know, my frisbee wasn't near me. So thank you to that kind old woman for...
Next time you're going to aim for her face.
No.
No.
No. Maybe a boob.
They're real low when you get older. So just
That's right.
Go for the hips.
That's right. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yo.
In the Discord chat. Have you ever checked out our Discord chat? Lots of good stuff going on there.
Oh.
You should check it out occasionally.
Nah.
In our Discord chat, people were kind of going off on little pet peeves for
Star Wars
movie theaters.
Oh, yeah.
Because on the Sincast, you know.
We're going to talk about that, right?
Are we?
I'd like to.
I would like to as well.
Okay.
Because I know I'm way in the minority, but I have a completely different view on this. Like,
okay. And I'm with you. We're talking about clapping.
Yes.
Okay.
Clap as much as you want.
I'm a clapper.
Yeah. I have no problem. Look, it's not. This is.
I actually had to turn the Sincast off because I was feeling.
You felt so judged.
I was like, oh no, oh no.
No, I get the logic of what they're saying. Nobody can hear you clap, but it's a reaction.
They can feel it in the atmosphere.
Okay, I'm not going there. But
it's
what,
like you're sending invisible clap waves.
But what I'm saying is sometimes things inside need to come outside, you know?
Like farting.
Yes, exactly. It is. It's an exuberant fart.
That's right. It's a happiness toot.
It is. It's a hand toot.
That's when you do this like.
Yeah. I never could do that.
Yeah. My little hand toot sounded so cute. It's like, toot, 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 toot.
No, my thing is this. I think the pendulum has swung way too far the other way to people who are just having a good time watching a movie.
I'm like, having a good time. Now, there's a couple things we need to talk about, though. Sincast
sure.
was talking about specifically one person who clapped the entire movie.
Yes.
My clap came at the very end. I was like, oh, that was so exciting.
Right.
But...
No, I get it. No, there is a line, right? But I think to insinuate that people shouldn't be clapping at all, or to insinuate that if somebody is eating, you know, food too noisily or checks their phone inauspiciously or whatever, like it's at what point is it on us just to not let that distract us? I mean, if somebody answers their phone, okay, fine, that's on them. Or if somebody's having a loud conversation all the way during the movie, I get it. But when you go to a group setting to watch something, isn't that kind of par for the course? Like, isn't some of that okay?
I went to a movie theater that serves food,
mm-hmm.
and we got there during the previews or right. the what's not called
ads
previews
or whatever. Yeah.
And we sat down, and the waiter comes up. And you don't have to do that like awkward crawl to your table and
right.
pop up thing.
Yeah.
But at the but when the movie's not playing, they don't have to do that.
Right.
He walks straight to our table and just as louder subject, hey, have you guys been here before? And I'm like, oh my God, you need to tone it down because someone's trying to pay attention to that
advertisement.
Yes.
Sure,
people,
I guess.
People like watching that stuff. Uh-huh. I was really uncomfortable with that. And then I get really uncomfortable when they come during the movie to deliver your food or, you know, ask if you need anything. I get that.
But are we that?
But I put myself into that theater. I chose to go to
right,
that theater.
Sure.
So that's the kind of environment it is. Other than that, I think it's like a no talking zone. There's no phones. If there's an emergency that happens for your family, like let's say that, I understand that. And
sure.
there's no way to police that kind of behavior. I turn my watch onto theater mode. I make sure.
No, that's great. That's very respectful. But what I'm saying is I think we've gone too far to judging other people. I'm glad you're respectful.
What are you talking about? Like people judge people all the time. It's been since the beginning
I know what
of
I'm
time.
Saying. That's not who we need to, like, why are we distracted by that? Like,
no,
if somebody next to me checks to see what time it is on their phone, my response is not going to be, how dare they do that? I can't believe we're in a theater. How dare you check it? My response is going to be nothing. Zero. I'm going to keep watching the movie that I came to watch.
But you weren't raised by the mother that I was raised by. Where everyone else around you not doing what the rules are is your responsibility to police.
I know.
And be angry.
I think that's unhealthy. I think that's supremely unhealthy.
I've let a lot of that stuff go. I really don't get too bothered by it.
Yeah.
My clapping came at the very end. I am a clapper. Jeremy said something about like Americans being raised to like clap when they get excited.
Uh-huh.
I am so that
sure.
person. I am. If you believe in reincarnation, I think I was some form of a Muppet character before, and that's just part of who I am. I actually performed my music when I was in my I think I was like 22. I had a concert that I did, and I was opening for this other band. And I was in this room of probably a couple hundred people or so.
Yeah.
And this is so embarrassing to share.
Now you have to.
Well, I was young and naive, and I didn't even realize I was clapping for myself, but I did.
Aww, that's adorable.
Here's the thing. I was very uncomfortable because I couldn't see anyone. I couldn't really hear very well because they turned all of the lights down, and it was just a spotlight directly onto me. I couldn't see anybody. And so when I finished the song, I was so young. I had that uncomfortable thing like, they don't know that it's over. So I was like, yay.
That's great.
And then I realized what I was doing, and I made it like I made fun of myself, and it was this whole thing. I still get people still comment about that moment because I clapped for myself. But this is just like part of what I do. Right. I don't even realize
of
I'm doing
it. All the things to get upset about.
And then I read this meme thing one time, and it's like, how you know that someone's from America is that they clap. And I was like, is this something that not everybody,
my God. It is fairly cultural.
It is. No, it is. It super is. So, but he's not wrong. You clap to let people know that you're excited about something. You shouldn't clap for yourself on stage. Number one, fail. And number two, but I don't agree with the whole movie thing. If I like something, I want to enjoy it and I'll clap for it.
Of all the things to get upset about.
I clapped at the end of Star Wars. I didn't jump up and down and go, oh my God, that was amazing.
But
I
if like, you did, so be
good.
It.
That was good.
Yes,
it was good. I liked it.
I am never going to be upset about somebody's excitement bubbling through in a reaction. That's awesome. One of the greatest moments I had in the movie theater this past year was Captain Mjolnir, and the entire theater just erupted. It was like we were at a ball game.
Yeah,
that was
fun.
So fun.
You know, that reminds
me. They can't hear them. That cheer means nothing.
Are we not supposed to cheer for sports games at sports bars?
Well,
they can't hear you cheering.
That's right.
They're on the field someplace else.
It's a natural reaction. And to be honest, I am not generally a natural reactor. I don't clap at movies. I don't, talk to the screen unless I just can't help it. And the most recent time I can remember is at the end of not Glass, the one before Glass, the M. Night movie, Split. At the end of Split, when it's revealed that the movie is in the same universe as Unbreakable, all right.
Sorry.
How does Aaron officially know when Danae is bored by his story? She has something inside her. She can't help but let it out.
I'm just expressing myself.
But anyways, at the end of that movie, I literally was yelling at the screen. Oh, no, you did not. You did not just do, I couldn't help myself. Now, can M. Night hear me?
Yes.
No, that's not what it's about. It's not, it's just a that is fun to me. I'm generally not that person, but man, I would never judge anybody for having a reaction.
My reaction was in, what was it, Two Towers when Wormtongue stabbed Saruman? And I was like, no.
Can I tell you a clapping story from my screening of Rise of Skywalker? It involves spoilers.
Oh.
So spoilers now. Maybe I'll just make this the last outtake.
Oh, okay.
So this is the last outtake. You're not going to miss anything else if you turn it off. But spoilers for Rise of Skywalker.
Thanks for listening.
And thank you for listening.
Have a great
day. So when Rey and Kylo kiss, there was applause. Enough of it. It was a packed theater. It was opening night. There was applause. And
when 13-year-old's like, ew!
No, there wasn't that. But it was there was enough applause where people weren't uncomfortable doing it, but there wasn't quite enough where you could tell some people weren't into the applause kind of thing. So then anyways, just a few moments later, Kylo dies, right? Because he gave his life. One guy down in the bottom starts a slow clap.
There he goes.